Who is your daddy?
I am your father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
Here we go, episode 2 of Fathers of the Grind, a podcast by some gamer dads. Yes, we're nerds and we're cool with that. We've got families, we've got jobs, but we love gaming. And so we wanted to do this podcast to talk from that point of view of dads who also love the hobby of gaming. Now, we've got many other things going on in our lives, whether it's music or really just family stuff with kids soccer and meetings that we go to, with groups we're part of, with church, with whatever else we're involved with. And yet gaming is still one of our favorite hobbies, one of the best ways that we have to kind of just take a break and escape from the everyday grind of life. So this podcast is called Fathers of the Grind. We'll talk a little bit about why it's named that in a minute, but I also wanted to introduce my co-host, Derek Teague.
Hey, how you doing?
And my name is Tim Nestor, and Derek, I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed our first episode. It was really fun to talk about 2015, and so I'm looking forward now to just looking at recent news and just really focusing on what's going on right now.
Absolutely. It was my favorite episode out of all the ones we've recorded.
Yeah, it was number one by far. All right, so what we'll do to open things up, I want to just explain a little bit where the name comes from. So if you don't mind, I won't put it on the spot, but I want to just let you kind of kick things off and give everyone an idea of why the name Fathers of the Grind. Where does that come from? What's it about? What does it mean?
It comes from two guys who like to play Ollie Ollie a lot. So we like to grind a lot in that game. No, I'm just kidding.
The BS is strong right out of the gate.
No, I when we were, you know, planning to put this podcast together, you and I had talked a good amount about how important the name was, so I wanted to come up with something catchy, and and I'll go over some of those in a little bit, some of the things that I threw out there first, but I actually typing in like games that start with father or have father in it, or dad, movies that have father in it, you know, anything that had like something mainstream that had father or dad in it, and the one that came to me was Father of the Bride.
Sure.
And so I obviously pluralized the father part and put fathers, and then I was like, okay, I can't do bride, so what can I do? And then I just started thinking about it, and I'm like, well, you know, grind, it kind of works. It works for video games, you know, you grind in video games, especially JRPGs, and then also the grind of life, your daily grind. So it fit, and it was the one that I was like, all right, that one works. And so then, yep. Obviously, I presented it to you, and I don't know how you felt about it at first, but I guess you could explain that.
Yeah, no, at first I saw it, and I thought, I'm not sure exactly what that means, but then, of course, just giving it only took a couple minutes of thought, and I was like, of course that makes sense. You know, think about how hardcore we are in the gaming. Grinding is part of that, whether it's, like you said, with RPGs or other games where you need to get up to that level required for things, or trying to do the collect-a-thon for some games, unlocking those trophies. It can be a grind, and in a lot of ways, that's a good thing. We enjoy that part of gaming. And same thing with life. There's a grind of life, too, getting up and going to work every day, getting the kids off to school, taking care of the bills and responsibilities and chores around the house. There's a grind to life. Too. So it made sense to me. It just took me a minute to process what it was about. I didn't know that you'd gotten that from Father of the Bride, which I love that movie. I love, I think it's one of Steve Martin's best. I really think it's one of Martin Short's best roles,
yeah,
as the wedding coordinator, but we'll do that in our movie cast at some point. We'll talk about that, I guess.
Yeah.
What can you think of any off the top of your head, any names that you had suggested? And I've got a few that I suggested too that did not make the cut as we were looking the name. Our little project here, this podcast, what are some of the names that you had considered that didn't make the cut?
Well, I mean, the first, let me first start off by saying I never saw this movie, but I know it's a very popular movie. I think there's more than one. That's how uneducated I am about this movie. So again, like I said earlier, I was trying to find things with father in it. So the movie that popped out to me the most was The Godfather. So I was trying to find something that fit with The Godfather, because I knew as soon as somebody read something like along those lines, they would get it and it would be catchy. Kind of like you didn't know Fathers of the Grind came from Father of the Bride. See, it doesn't really stick out like that. Whereas anything with the blank Fathers would have meshed.
Okay,
so
yeah.
My first one that I sent to you was the Mod Fathers, which I really liked.
Yeah.
But I don't mod. You don't mod. So I was like, we could lie to people and act like we're modders, but we're not.
Yeah.
So that one didn't work. So then I kept thinking, I'm like, all right, what else? And so then I was like, ah, this is easy. It's the biggest game in all of gaming, the COD Fathers. But I absolutely hate Call of Duty. No, I don't hate it, but I'm not a big fan of Call of Duty. So COD Fathers didn't work because I actually bought Call of Duty Black Ops 3, but you and I played it. How long did we play that one together?
Together, maybe 20 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, I think I died once, and you're like, come on, idiot. And then I was like, all right, delete game, delete Tim, delete
I made you cry,
Call
and
of
you
Duty.
Were out.
Yeah, I was like, this game's not for me. I hate it. So COD Fathers didn't work, and that's when I just kept searching for other things, and finally it ended up on Fathers of the Grind. But I really did like the COD Fathers and the Mod Fathers actually better.
I did too.
They just didn't.
Yeah,
fit
I love
for
those
us.
Movies too. I love the Godfather movies, all three of them, especially one and two. But yeah, so I liked that too. Some of the ones that I had thought of, and I was nowhere near as creative as you with some of the names. I liked the way that you've connected them with movies and stuff like that. Mine was just really basic stuff that somehow included the terms father and gamer or something like that, and they all sounded really dumb and really stiff and weird. But a couple of the ones that I thought could be really good would be like Daddy Wants to Play.
That just sounds creepy.
I thought that would be a good one. I also considered Go Get Daddy a Beer. I thought that was a good one. I'm Not Your Father.
I'm not your father. All right, that one's decent. But
and then at some point we could change it to I'm Your Father. So just like real confusing show, like back and forth, like no one understands. Yeah. So I had horrible ideas. I had no ideas. So all credit to Derek for coming up with name possibilities.
Wow.
Yeah, I had really bad ones. I had some other ones that were more generic, like gaming podcast. But I like something that really talks about our point of view, and so Fathers of the Grind it is. So as a side note, you guys, feel free to head over to fathersofthegrind.com. There's no spaces. It's spelled just like those words. There's no weird spelling. Fathersofthegrind.com. It's a combination of a gaming blog that I had started early this past year, and then we also are going to be posting our show episodes as well. So you can go there. You can check out the show. You can check out a few blog posts. You could also submit a question or any feedback. There's a contact form as soon as you go to that page. So check that out if you have time.
I know it's like cliche, especially since I listen to a lot of podcasts for the host to ask for people to submit questions and all that stuff. But I really would like some feedback and questions because I would love to implement them into the show. So if anybody does go to fathersofthegrind.com and they want to submit a question, there's a good chance we will use it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about our families. What's going on with in life in general? I know today's your daughter's birthday. How old is she today?
She's 12. And
she's your oldest, right?
Yes, she's my oldest. So I guess this is official teenage years.
Yep.
So I'm not ready for it, but it's happening. So yeah, she's 12. I thought we would go out and celebrate, but I guess because she's a teenager, she's boring now because she didn't want to go out. She just wanted to stay home and eat pizza and play on her phone. So it's kind of a lame night, to be honest with you.
A true gamer.
Yeah, I really wanted to, you know, go out and have a good time and then come back and play games. But yeah, she's 12, and then tomorrow I've got a soccer match for my middle child, the 9-year-old, Ian. So we're going to be doing that. And then we're kind of continuing the celebration of my daughter's birthday. We are actually going to be going out tomorrow and living it up.
Okay, nice. Nice. What games are they playing these days? Whether it's your son's or your daughter, or what games are they playing?
Yeah, I don't think I talked about this on the last podcast, so shame on me. For Christmas, I got my daughter a good amount of games, and she actually really got into Minecraft, the story mode by Telltale Games. They've released 4 episodes so far. I believe there's 5 total. I think it's 5. It could be 6.
And can we just say that of all the Telltale games, for them to rapidly release episodes, it's really annoying to me that it's that one. I'm not trying to insult the Minecraft story mode. I've heard good things about it. But games like Wolf Among Us was one of those games that had so many cliffhangers from episode to episode, and I loved that series, and they took forever between episodes. So anyway, continue.
No, I agree, and maybe it's just because I don't pay attention because I had no interest in it. I'm kind of burnt out on Telltale games in general, but this isn't about me, it's about her. So yeah, they came out pretty fast, and she knocked out all 4 episodes in like 2 days. She really got into them. We also got Yoshi's Woolly World. I think I'm saying that right. I didn't read it, so I don't know. So she hasn't played that much, but I told her I'd play with her because she said she hit some part that was difficult. So she's playing that, and then your typical, you know, iPhone games that she plays. My son Ian, the 9-year-old, he's more of a tablet kid. Here's the thing, and I make fun of both my boys for doing this, because it really, maybe I'm just a stuck-up snob, but it really irks me that I spend all this money on quality consoles and games. Like, I own FIFA 14, 15, 16, I own the Maddens, all that. I buy those for the kids, mainly. I do love FIFA, I do play that a lot, but I mainly buy the sports games now for the kids, and I catch especially my 9-year-old, he's real guilty. He will not touch a console. Like, he doesn't play on the Wii U, the Xbox, PS4, nothing, unless he's, like, looking at YouTube.
Oh.
But he'll sit for hours on his tablet and play some cheesy, generic soccer game that's a wannabe ripoff of FIFA or Pez, whatever you prefer. It's a ripoff. Like, I sit there and he'll be like, "Dad, check out my goal. It's a pass from Messi, man, to Neymar, Neymar to Suarez."
Do you shame him? Do you shame him to tears?
Absolutely. You know I'm not a nice person, and I don't take it easy on my kids either. I'm like, "Dude, I don't even want to watch your replay because this is pathetic. You should be playing on FIFA." "Shut up, Dad." But, you know, so he does that a lot. And then my youngest, now he's the gamer. He's Derek Matthew Teague Jr., even though that's not his name. He's just like me. He likes his Xbox One, so he does prefer his Xbox One. That should make Jesse proud from our Facebook group. But he is really into sports games. So
nice. Like, does he play FIFA?
Yes, a lot. Nice. He plays FIFA, nice. And right now he's playing Madden the most. I think it's because, you know, I was watching a lot of college football towards the end of the season.
Yeah, he got the football itch.
Yeah, sure. And then, you know, and then playoff football's here now for the NFL. So I've been watching a lot of games, which I don't watch a lot of TV, but when I do, it's usually sports. So I think he's been getting into Madden for that. And I'm not exaggerating, as a person who exaggerates, I had to go on my Xbox One and erase his creative characters because, get this, he goes, "Dad," one day he goes, "Dad, the system won't let me create a character. I don't understand. I said, "All right, let me look at it." So this is for Madden, by the way. So I'm going on there, I'm looking at it, I'm like, "All right, so let me go ahead and try to create this character for him," and then I see the error and why I can't. It's because he had already created 150 characters. Or my players.
Is it like just everybody in his family, everybody he knows, every famous person? Is it just like...
Yeah. It's like he creates Eli Manning, who's already in the game. And in case y'all don't know, Elijah is his name, so he likes Eli. So he creates, like, Eli Manning. He'll create Peyton Manning, Odell Beckham Jr. And I'm like, "Eli, son, they're all in the game. Why are you... I just like to create them."
Wait.
I had to delete 150... creator characters.
He was creating... See, for some reason, I thought you were talking about FIFA. You're talking about Madden? I must have missed that. You're talking about Madden? So he's creating actual NFL football players who are already in the game.
Yeah.
And the game has already been designed to use their likeness with the highest quality technology to create their likeness, and he can access that at any time. But his version through the created character he prefers.
And they're all like high rated characters, so are players, I should say, not characters.
Oh, this is that's fantastic.
So it's not like his favorite player is, you know, I don't know, somebody who already retired or somebody who's a bench warmer that he wants them to be good, so he creates them and makes them like a 99. These are guys who are already high rated players in the NFL and in Madden that he's recreating, and he had over 150 players. And I keep saying characters, so I apologize. It's players. He's creating players. So it's hilarious, but it's at the same time, I was like shaking my head. I'm like, son, I got to now sit here and delete all these players.
that is fantastic.
No, Dad, don't do that, Dad. Oh, my gosh.
Well, none of my kids are doing anything that absolutely hilarious, because for some reason that just really tickles me, the fact that he's creating these players that are... Does he know they're in the game already? He knows that, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
he's,
all right.
He's a smart kid. He just likes to create players.
That's fine. I mean, as long as he's having fun. I mean, I laugh about it, and it sounds kind of silly, but like honestly, for at least at certain ages, as long as they're having fun, even if it's like really silly things, that's not really what the game is for. It's fine with me, you know, like my kids play Nintendogs, or at least used to play Nintendogs, and they were not in it to like make money and unlock stuff and make the dog better at anything. They were just in it to do things like give it a bath every 30 seconds because they thought that was hilarious. Like things like that just you don't need to do. Whatever, they're having fun. It is what it is. So for my kids, what they're playing these days, I think I talked about this last week a little bit. They're currently replaying through Castle Crashers again. We just beat it about a month ago together. But now they're playing it through without my help. So three of them or four of them, depending on if anybody's in trouble and missing out on some gaming time. It's either three or four of them usually at a time. And yeah, they love that game. It's just real simple, straightforward, side-scrolling. You assign your little points to your characteristics, and then you go to the next level. So they love that. And on their DSs, we're playing a lot of Mario Kart 7 these days. We're linking up the 3DSs and playing some Mario Kart. My twins, who are four, they're actually getting close to being five, they've got some DS Lite systems, and they are really digging Plants vs. Zombies. So they like those games. They each have their own copy of it, and they love Plants vs. Zombies. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that they're playing. They jump around from game to game sometimes. Sometimes they'll borrow games from my 3DS collection, like Luigi's Mansion or Zelda. My older son's kind of dipping his toes into Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D. So, yeah.
I actually launched right before we recorded Ocarina of Time, because I think, did we talk about it on the last podcast how
we talked about Zelda.
Yeah, and I actually launched it today because I was playing around with my 3DS. I had to get my 3DS code because I'm planning on playing some co-op on the 3DS pretty soon with some buddies, and maybe you, if you ever, you know,
get a
3DS game that actually matters.
Maybe.
So, anyways, my stories are always way too long. But anyways, so Ocarina of Time, I think I bought it used. I had to have bought it used. Okay, so I log in or boot it up, and it brings me to, you know, where you can load your game. And the last time I had played Ocarina of Time, I know I put like 2 hours in. I think I got through like the first dungeon or something, and that was like it. And so I'm looking at it, and I'm like, why do I have like a character that has like 16 hearts and has like all these emblems like next to it? So I boot up the game, and I guess what I did is I bought that game new and then didn't play it a lot and sold it, and then bought it used from, I believe, Target to get it back, because I was like, why did you sell it? You're dumb. That's Zelda. You don't sell Zelda games. And so I actually have a character on there that's already beat the game, that has everything.
So can I just interrupt you and say this? I'm starting to understand a little bit more. This is how you quote unquote beat games. You buy them used with the save files already completed, and you're like, hey, I beat it, and then you move on to the next game.
You're jumping to my point. So now I can officially announce on podcast,
oh geez,
Fathers of the Grind episode 2, I have beaten Ocarina of Time. It's fabulous.
So full of crap. Oh man, All right. So I'm gonna skip on past that. that was ridiculous. I just wanted to talk a little bit about kind of our, I guess you can call it our topic of the week. It really is just basically about our families and how we handle gaming with our families. So obviously we are dads, we are parents, we own some responsibility for how our kids are growing up. And it's kind of scary to think about that we're helping to shape the way that they see the world and the way that they, you know, see what's important, what's not important, how to use their time, how to build skills and all those kind of things. Like, we're really helping to shape their lives, and it's kind of a scary responsibility at times. And so part of that is, how do we as parents allow them to enjoy the things they enjoy, let's say in this example, gaming, but also not let them overindulge to the point where they become either addicted or incredibly lazy in other areas of life. So the question I have for you, and I think I'm going to answer this first to give you some time to kind of think about it and come up with how you and your wife handle things. But the question is basically, how does your family limit or allow gaming time? So how does your family set those things up, whether it's with your kids or honestly really for yourself as well? So I'll answer that first. And by the way, for any of you who are listening, if you want to chime in on some of this, feel free to, whether we're on Facebook groups together, feel free to just throw us a comment and tag us in it and let us know what you think, or go to our website, fathersofthegrind.com, and submit a question there. But for our family, for myself, my game time is already kind of automatically limited just because of regular life and responsibilities. I mean, I've got a job that usually keeps me busy for a pretty average amount of time a week, anywhere from 45 to 50 hours a week. And then I've got a 45-minute commute. We've got family dinner. We are always doing some kind of activity. You're going to some sort of small group or taking the kids to the library for some special reptile expert guest, or, you know, we're always going somewhere with the kids for something, you know, soccer games.
Yeah.
So we've always got stuff going on. So by the time we get them kind of settled down and heading towards bed in that 8 to 9 o'clock range every evening, that's usually when my wife and I get a chance to take a breath, slow down, and more often than not, we spend a little time together. Maybe we'll just sit and talk and have some coffee or whatever and eat, or we'll sit and watch a show together. But that's also many nights the time when I get to fire up a game. So whether it's around 9 o'clock or sometimes closer to 11 is when I kind of squeeze in whatever gaming time I can get. Now that changes on the weekends a little bit, but for me, so that's a long way of answering. For me, it's kind of naturally limited. That being said, there are plenty of nights that, and last night was a good example of this, that my game time actually limits my sleep. So I'm playing through a game right now that I'll share in a little bit, and I'm getting towards the end of it. I'm almost finished with it, and I didn't quite get to the end, but I kept staying awake for the next scene, the next scene, the next scene, trying to see what happens. And so that happens to me from time to time. So whether I'm playing an online game like Rocket League and I just get in a group and we're all chatting and next thing you know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, or if I'm really hooked on a single player game like I was last night. So sometimes my gaming time invades more important things like sleep. But for the most part, my time is pretty naturally set. As far as my kids go, though, we don't have a certain number of minutes each day that they can play. I'm a major gamer. My wife is not. And so I think we balance each other out. Like, there are days, like, when it's really cold or snowy or rainy, and it's just not a good day to send kids outside, and we're just going to be home all day that day, I lean towards, just let them play, who cares? And she leans towards, no, this is a day to get things done. This is our opportunity for us to do something creative and fun as a family. Usually those things balance each other out, because even though I think of her as Superwoman in a lot of ways, she still has her limits, and, you know, she's got an energy level. Eventually she kind of peters out, and getting close to lunchtime, usually it's okay to start turning on games. And so we balance each other out really well that way, especially on the weekends. So I would say our kids anywhere from 30 minutes all the way up to maybe on a really full day of gaming, they might get close to 2 hours total throughout the day, where they're playing some Wii in the morning and then maybe playing their DSs after lunch. And then maybe they get to play Castle Crashers, you know, for an hour before bed or something like that. Those days aren't that uncommon. But neither are the half hour or less days. You know, those happen as well. So we limit it that way. And I'll say one more thing. We do use it as an incentive as well as a discipline for our kids. So I don't know if any of you listening can relate to that. But it's a good way for us, at least, to incentivize them to, you know, whether it's complete their chores faster, get your homework done, earn it some way. Like if you can be good all morning without fighting your brother, then you can earn an extra 15 minutes of playing or whatever. Yeah. So we've used it as incentive, and that's worked. We've also used it as discipline. So, you know, the kid gets caught in a lie. You know, he lied straight face about coloring on the wall with the marker, and we caught him in it. And we've, you know, somehow we found the evidence that points right to him, probably marker all over his finger or something ridiculous. And so we're like, you just lost screen time, you know, for this whole afternoon or whatever it is. We call it screen time. So that means no iPad, no DS, no screens whatsoever.
Nice.
And so we use that as discipline, and that's effective as well, because no matter what other punishment we can dole out to the kids, you know, go sit on the steps, think about what you did, or, you know, whatever, you know, write 10 times, you know, I will be nice to my brother. Those things don't work nearly as well as fine, no screens until tomorrow. And then they're devastated. So for us, that's worked for us as a family. I do recognize that me being a big time gamer, it's one of my favorite things to do in my free time. That has heavily influenced my kids to be gamers as well. And I'm okay with that. So, all right, that was kind of me talking for a long time. What about you guys? How do you set your family allowances or limits on gaming?
I'd say we're pretty similar to your family. I'm really, really busy. Obviously, I've got a full-time job. My wife also works a full-time job. All three of my kids are in school. So when they get home, they have a little bit of free time, like literally probably 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Most of the time they're watching TV. As far as I know, I'm not here when this is happening. But Eli, the young one, he's a huge gamer. That's why I always make fun of him that he's basically my twin. He's constantly on. When he has a chance, he gets on it. But our lifestyle's kind of so busy with work, school, and sports. And when I say sports consumes our life, it's literally 6 days a week. The only day we get off is Sunday, and our family goes to church, so we're even gone on Sundays. So there's no sleeping in for the Teague family. That's my last name for people who don't know. We're constantly on the go. So
in certain countries, that's pronounced Teague.
Teague. Yes, correct. Or if you're a debt collector, it's Tagui. Is Derek Tagui there?
And then you say, in all honesty, no, he is not.
And it's like, yeah, Tagui, you're legit. Hang up. So our lifestyle by itself limits game time. So that we don't have to put tight restrictions on it. The most difficult part is getting them off the games or off TV to get them to go to bed on time.
Yes.
Which is, I think, a struggle for all parents.
Yep.
So that's my biggest struggle. It was even happening. We're recording on a Friday night. That was the issue I was dealing with before recording, just trying to get these kids to mm-hmm. listen to mom, listen to dad, and do what they're supposed to do.
Yep.
That all being said, Eli, his number one punishment, as soon as he doesn't do something he's supposed to do, is I take away video games. And my son's kind of dramatic like me, so when I say, you've lost Xbox, it's usually a loud, dramatic shout of anger and frustration, yeah. Or it's like a fish out of water flipping on the floor, crying, begging me, please, no, don't take that away. So that's
he comes by it honestly. It sounds like a Derek response.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when I'm at work and they're like, Derek, you gotta stay off your phone. Please focus on your job. I usually just like start flipping on the floor, you know, and crying. No, I need my phone. No, but that's how Eli is. So Eli's punishment is most definitely in your term, screen time. We take that away.
Yeah.
For Ian, it's TV. That's the first thing I go to, because okay. Ian, he just doesn't care about video games. So I don't consider him my son. So I take away TV from him. And then Emily she's definitely a gamer, but she's not like Eli. So just saying, Emily, you've lost video games, doesn't work. The thing I go for with her is her phone.
The phone, yeah. Yeah.
And she actually broke her phone tonight. On her birthday.
Uh-oh.
My daughter's a bit of a clumsy person. And so she's known for doing this type of stuff. And so I was playing Rocket League. I got to play a couple matches tonight before we recorded. And I'm playing Rocket League, and I hear, like, a slap on the ground. Like, something had fallen. And I was like, what was that? Because it just didn't sound right. And nobody talked at all. I'm like, somebody going to tell me what that was? Silence. Uh-oh. And finally, I hear my wife, Emily, you just broke your phone. I'm like, oh, well, now I know what just slapped and wasn't supposed to slap. It was her phone.
Mm.
So she's got a broken phone now. So, I mean, I guess she can still kind of use it, but the screen's shattered. But that's our go-to with her. We take okay. that away.
Yeah, that would be effective.
But, yeah, now, there's no real limits because our life limits it.
I could be wrong, but I feel like your wife and my wife have some similarities in that if we get to that point where they feel we've been playing too long, do you get the, hey, that's enough, turn it off, from the wife, too?
That's, like, a nice way of saying it. I usually get some dramatic reason why I have to get off and how terrible I am. So, yeah, I do get that. But I try, you know, I try to put her and the family first. And because our lives are so busy, as soon as I get home, I am naturally drawn to, I just want to go turn my system on. Yeah. So I've gotten better, or at least I think I've gotten better. If you ask her, she might give you a different answer. But I do try when we get home, just be like,
okay. Go ahead and get her. Let's talk to her. Let's
yeah, get yeah. Her. Yeah, I'm sure she would love to right now.
My wife has gotten to the point now where she's never been really mean about it, but she'll just be real direct, like, hey, you really should go to bed. Like, that can wait till tomorrow. You should go to bed. But then she'll let it go. Like, if I either say, yeah, I'm coming or whatever, she'll a lot of times go to sleep way before I do. And if I'm tired the next day, if it's a legit reason, like, hey, one of the kids was up crying all night, they had nightmares, and I was up with them, she would feel bad for me and do what she could to kind of help give me some rest time the next day. If it's because I stayed up till 1:30 or 2 because I couldn't put the controller down, you know, she respects my decision as an adult to do that. She just doesn't feel bad for me if I'm all red-eyed and exhausted the next day. So, yeah, that's part of the... And I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay with giving up a little bit of sleep sometimes.
Yeah, so I do try to start later. Because my wife works full-time, I've noticed with gaming with you that it seems your wife stays up a little bit later than
she
mine.
She does, yeah, she's up real late.
She's usually knocked out by 9:30, 10 o'clock, so that's to my advantage when it comes to gaming. Because if I can wait until she's out, then I don't have to worry about
it. Yeah, slipping that NyQuil in the wine glass. I know that trick. Oh, yeah. That's good stuff. So I posed this question to one of the larger Facebook groups I'm a part of. You guys, most of you are familiar with Podcast Beyond, the PlayStation podcast from IGN. And so I'm part of that Facebook group. And so I posed a question. I said, how do your families handle setting limits on gaming time? And I got a whole bunch of responses. Let me just read a couple of these for you. Someone named Jonathan said when he was younger, it was fine as long as he had done his homework, chores, etc. And now, of course, he games when he wants. So, you know, he's living large, living free, probably single.
Yes.
A couple of parents chimed in and said as soon as their kids are done with their homework and they've completed whatever chores they've got, then typically they let him play or do whatever he wants. If he wants to play a game, if he wants to watch TV, if he wants to go outside, they can make their own decisions. I would imagine that kid's probably a little bit older, probably at least closer to middle school or above, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But he said he's got lots of commitments like karate and other things, so he doesn't always have a ton of time anyway. And that reminds me of my 8-year-old son who's got soccer every fall, and he loves to be outside. So because he's such a soccer player, I mean, don't get me wrong, he'll sit and play a game all day if you let him, but he also really, really, really loves to be outside. So I don't know. I think there's some healthiness and kind of encouraging both of those things.
I try to do both because even though I said, you know, my family's life's busy, and it really is, I don't exaggerate it, but when we do have those days when we're just sitting around the house, maybe it's a Saturday where we had one soccer game in the morning and then the rest of the day we have off, I try to play soccer with my kids. My boys love to be outside. My daughter, sometimes I have to have that where both my wife and I gang up on her to push her to get her outside.
Yeah.
And those are usually the good soccer matches because those are the ones where she doesn't want to be out there. So her whole goal is not to score a goal, but to actually vex everybody else that's out there, because she hates all of us.
We have a troll on the field.
Yes. So she'll usually, like, because my youngest has a bit of a temper problem, kind of like his father, so she likes to try to get under his skin. And it's pretty simple to do it. All you have to do is say he sucks, or you're pathetic, or you're fat. And so when she does something like that, it's usually me watching him chase her, hit her, then her go back and hit him, and it usually turns into an all-out brawl. So it's pretty fun.
That sounds amazing. Soccer time at the Tagouis.
It's like Rocket League with fighting. So it's exciting.
That sounds fantastic. This guy Jared Fry from the podcast Beyond Group. I like his response. He talked about how his 13-year-old would come home and cruise through his homework, whether at school early in the morning or at school at the end of the day, and he would rush through it, fly through it, just so he can get home and play games all the way till bedtime. And what he discovered was that his grades plummeted because he wasn't getting his homework done correctly, or he was rushing through it, not doing a good job. So now he said that he takes more of a, you know, get your grades up to a certain average type of an approach before you have access to games again. So I think that's good, where you're not only telling them, you know, get your responsibilities done, but also you need to learn how to do your responsibilities well. You need to take care of things with some sort of effort beyond just, yeah, you know, getting through it. So I liked that response. Michael Sutherland said that his sister will take the power cord away from the router during dinner time so the family can't use any of their Wi-Fi devices. Now, of course, you could always use your 4G whatever phone, but for the most part, I like the intent, and that is disconnect for this amount of time while family talks. Now, I can see that being annoying, especially at first, but I can also see the benefit of something like that. So I liked that. Let's see if we can get a few more in here. Patrick says, I'm 26. I don't have limits. When I was a kid, I didn't really have them either. So Patrick, freedom all the time.
Don't give it up, Patrick.
A few other, several people commented that, you know, they themselves need the limits more than their kids do. And I can relate to that sometimes, where, you know, sometimes you need to set that limit for yourself. Like, go to bed at midnight, you idiot. You're going to be exhausted again tomorrow. So,
yeah, I think that if I had to be completely honest, I think it's more me than it's them. And I think that would be the only issue my wife has, is that she feels like she has to get on to me more than she has to get on to the kids. So, yeah, I can definitely see that.
All right, well, next week we'll check in with you and see how much time you spent. And, we'll get this problem solved for you, buddy. We will fix you.
Well, next week I'll probably just sell everything I own. So I won't even be able to record, because I'm going to actually sell my computer as well.
Seems like a bit of an overreaction, but okay.
I'm done.
Wow, you got a lot of good names. All right, I feel like there was one or two more responses on here I wanted to share, but I think you guys get the point, and that is that every family, every gamer has to do what's best for them as a person and in their relationships. So I think for those of you who maybe are in the camp of, I don't set limits, I play what I want when I want, I spend my time how I want, and part of me is like, yeah, more power to you. I'm jealous of that. But part of me is also like, if that's what's most healthy for you, great. I'm guessing, though, for most people, that's not a super healthy approach, to have zero boundaries and zero limits. So, I'd be curious to hear what some of you guys think. Again, feel free to let us know and give us your take on what you guys do with your families, whether you're parents or maybe you're younger. I know we've got some younger people, and some of our listeners are a little younger. What are your parents, or what did your parents do in monitoring or limiting your gaming time? So, yeah, interesting discussion, I think, to kind of think through how different families handle stuff. I mean, my family does it the best, but, you know, I just want to hear what you guys do. That's wrong.
Your family is pathetic.
Yeah, it is. Hang on. Did you guys hear that? They're all crying right now. They were standing in the hallway, so excited to meet my new friend Derek. They're all weeping.
They'll deal with it.
All right, let's talk about what we're currently playing right now. We talked about what our kids are playing. We've talked a little bit about family gaming. I want to find out a little bit more about what you're playing. So give me one game right now that you're working your way through.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we should bounce off one at a time. So I'll start. I'm kind of going through a bit of a phase where I'm bouncing up from game to game, and I'm really struggling with getting hooked into one game. Like, I'll get excited about playing something, and then I'll just, like, kind of phase out, because I'm like, I don't really want to play this. So one of them that I'm trying, and I purposely selected this game because I was like, it's short. You can do this. You can complete it. And I am pretty good overall at completing my games, but I've just been in one of those like phases where right now I'm having trouble hooking. So this one was intentionally picked because it's a shorter game, and that is Life is Strange. It's episodic, so I figured that might be a little bit easier because it'll make me feel like I'm accomplishing something after every 2 hours and completing an episode. So my feedback on that game so far is I like it. I had actually purchased episode 1 when it came out the first day, and I didn't buy the season pass. Now, I normally buy the season passes day 1 because, I don't know, I like playing I like playing episodic games as soon as they launch. Like, I know some people, and I've heard them say it over and over, well, I don't like playing them as soon as they launch. I like to wait for them to all come out, and then they'll play them. I like to play episode 1, and then wait for 2, and then play it, and then so on. So I played episode 1, and I liked it. I really did like it. And it kind of leaves you with, like, a little bit of a hook to give you a reason to buy episode 2. But I was like, I'll just wait. I have a feeling this game's going to be real cheap. Mm. And to my surprise, while Life is Strange has been on sale, it did not go on sale as fast as I thought it would, and it didn't drop as much as I thought it would when I did see it go on sale.
Yeah.
But I finally got the price that I wanted, and I got it on the Xbox One. The season pass was for $8, so I picked it up as soon
as I saw it. That's a good
deal. It's absolutely a good deal, yeah, especially since now I've gotten through episodes 2 and 3. And I'm in the middle of 4. I've probably put in a good hour and a half of 4. And then there's only 5 episodes, I believe. So I'm closing in on the end as a whole. But I gotta tell you, man, I highly suggest this game to you. I think you'll really like it as somebody who likes story-driven games.
I do.
And I do believe you like the whole plot twist type things, the stuff that you don't see coming. I'm really into that. So when I got through, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but when I got through the end of episode 3, it kind of leaves you with a, oh, I got to play episode 4 right away. And it's a good thing that I did wait until the season completed, because I would have been upset having to wait 6-8 weeks to play episode 4.
Yeah, the waits in between these episodic releases can be painful. Like, I like the episodic thing. I like that it's mixing up the way games are delivered to us. I have no problem with episodic releases, but the space between them when you're playing them as they release can be painful. So I'm with you. I like to wait until they're all out, if I can. You know, if it's a series that I can wait on, then I try to wait as long as I can.
You know who, and not to get too sidetracked, but you know who did it really, really, really well? Was Capcom release Resident Evil Revelations 2 episodic, but they did it in such a great way. Each one of their episodes were about 2 or 3 hours long, and I will tell you this right now, anybody who's at all interested in Resident Evil style games, Revelations 2 is a great game, and I highly, highly, highly suggest you play it. But anyways, back to my point. Each episode is about 2 or 3 hours long, and they were releasing them every week. So the game was done, but they did it episodic because they didn't want to try to sell it at like $40 because they didn't think people would buy it. So they did it where you just buy an episode. I think they were like $6-7 an episode. Buy an episode, and then they were trying to hook you. And they did such a great job with the story that they really did hook you. Nice. Now, I'm a fanboy of Resident Evil, so I bought it, you know, the whole package right away. But even if I hadn't done that, they did it in such a good way, and the wait was so short of releasing it once a week, or an episode per week, it was really, really well done.
That's awesome. I'm not a fanboy of Resident Evil, but I do like some of those games. Like, I know specifically Resident Evil 4 is many people's favorite. I loved that game. And I remember playing, like, the old PlayStation 1, too, and I think I played, I want to say, Code Veronica on a Dreamcast. So I like some of the stuff that Resident Evil has done, and so now you're kind of convincing me to give this one a try. It sounds good.
It is, and if you do see it cheap on PSN, actually, you don't even have to buy it. I have it.
Okay, so good. We're all set then.
You have access.
I'll give that one a go. Well, one of the games that I had marked down as a game that I'm playing through, I'm kind of cheating here a little bit with our rules, but I just finished it, so I'm not currently playing it, even though we're talking about games we're currently playing. I just finished Uncharted 3 a few nights ago. So that is my first time playing through all three Uncharted games, playing through the Uncharted collection. Really, really enjoyed that. I actually just posted a blog post on fathersofthegrind.com about my impressions of Drake's Fortune and how it held up today. So feel free to check that out. But I really liked Uncharted 1. I loved Uncharted 3. I think it's my favorite of the series. I want to kind of digest for a little bit and kind of think through what I liked about 2, because I really did like 2, and then what it was about 3 that I felt was so great. So I'm not really sure how I'd rank them just yet, but man, Uncharted 3 was really great, and I am super amped for Uncharted 4, and I'm actually kind of glad I've got a 3-month wait here. I guess 2 months would have been fine too, but yeah, I'm kind of glad it's not here yet. Like, if it had come out this fall, it probably would have sat on my backlog for a little bit, and now I've fired up. I feel like I need a little bit of space between Uncharted, and so now I'm looking forward to 4 when that does drop. So Uncharted 3, man, really good. What else are you playing?
Right now I wrote down Mad Max, but I can't really say I'm playing it.
Doesn't count. Yeah, come back to that one later.
Because I haven't really been playing it. I started last night. A lot of people were talking about The Witcher 3 again. Even us talking about it last week. I decided to jump into Hearts of Stone, the expansion. I guess it's kind of like a mini expansion. It's not as big as the expansions that are soon to come, but I really enjoyed The Witcher 3 story, and I had heard that Hearts of Stone had a good story as well. I don't normally and typically buy DLC for story-driven games or RPGs or anything like that, because I'm the type that likes to complete the main story, the main quests, and get what the developer was trying to create and wanting to tell. And then usually I've always viewed DLC as just extra BS to get more money out of you. I'm not saying that's factual for every game, but that's normally what it is. It's just normally tacked on content to say, hey, give me $10 and you can go play these two missions that have nothing to do with what you just played in the main story quest.
And do it while wearing this new skin. Congratulations.
Pretty much. Yeah. But The Witcher is doing it the right way, in my opinion, and that's... It's still set in the world that you've been invested in for hundreds of hours, but it's now giving you this new overarching plot and story, and I've only gotten probably about 3 hours into it, and it's already hooked me.
Nice.
Like, and I'm not exaggerating this, it's the first time in a while it's been like this, but I was thinking about The Witcher while I was at work. And I was like, I want to go home and play it.
Yeah, there you go.
So, actually, I did say, you know, I played a couple games of Rocket League. That is true, but I quickly turned off Rocket League. This is a big storyline right here. If you've been
breaking news.
Breaking news. If you've been following me at all, it's usually the reverse. I usually turn off the other game to play Rocket League, but I actually shut Rocket League down after 2 games, and I was like, nope. I want to go into The Witcher. So
that's awesome. I mean, that's a big deal, because usually you play Rocket League until your body shuts down and just you fall asleep. You just collapse right there and fall asleep. Like I know that you play Rocket League until you physically can't anymore. So that's a big deal that you chose to turn it off.
The Witcher may be prying me away a little bit.
Nice.
I'm still going to play, you know, Rocket League to have fun with you guys, but that do play Rocket League. Like tonight I was supposed to play with John Martin. Sorry, John Martin. But I didn't have time because I was doing this. But The Witcher 3, Hearts of Stone, highly recommend it. So far, haven't completed it. I've heard nothing but good things about it. All the reviews are, you know, high 8s, 9s, probably some 10s out there. So definitely a expansion / DLC worth checking out.
Very cool. Yeah, I need to jump into that. Obviously, Witcher 3 being one of my favorite games in a long, long time. The DLC just happened to drop. Right, as a whole bunch of other games I wanted to play happened to drop, and particularly Uncharted Collection, of course, like I just talked about. I was also finishing up Metal Gear Solid 5 at that point. That game took me a hefty amount of time to finish, and then you know, Assassin's Creed came out, and so on and so forth.
It came out in September, right?
I think it came out in October. I want to say it was like the second week of October that Heart of Stone came out. But anyway, it's one of those things, as soon as I saw it, I said, yep, I'm going to play that. Like, there's no doubt in my mind I'm going to play it. It's just a matter of I want to be able to sit down and just play that. Because I'm also probably going to go back and do a new game plus. Like, I don't do that very often. We talked about game time being limited. I don't usually replay very many games anymore. I used to, you know, when I had a lot more free time. But I don't replay a ton of games anymore. But in this case, I do feel like there's a good possibility that I'll do a new game plus of Witcher 3 after I do some of the DLC stuff, like Hearts of Stone. And then the next DLC pack sounds pretty good coming out.
Yeah, see, that's my issue, is, like, I want to play games over. Like, I think I talked about last week when we did the episode, I talked about Knights of the Old Republic 2 and how I started that, and I got, like, 5 hours in. And I was really enjoying it. It wasn't a lack of not enjoying it, but I actually ended up stopping because I was like, but I've already played it. And so my problem is I have trouble playing games again because I have so many games and I have such a big backlog. And this really does happen. While I'm playing a game, I'll start thinking in my head while I'm playing it. I could be enjoying the game and this will still pop in my head. But you haven't beat this game yet. Why are you playing this game? You already beat it. So I think that's what's going to happen to Ocarina of Time as well, since I've clearly already beaten it. I wasn't aware I beat it. But when I actually go back to try to play it, I may not be able to play it.
What a personal victory that must have been for you to finally beat it, you know? Just to get that monkey off your back. Man, that must have felt good.
Yeah, all that hard work just turning on that used video game.
I'll be interested to hear, maybe offline when we're done, you can give me the download on, give me some real specifics on what you enjoyed about the final few dungeons and the final few challenges in that game. I really want to hear in depth, specifically.
I mean, we can do it now. I mean, the part where I swing the sword. Yeah, and do the roll on the ground.
Wait, what about the part where you break a pot?
Yeah, I did that.
Okay, all right. Well, you're legit then. You did play it. Never mind.
Yeah, in that one dungeon with fire, I broke a pot.
Uh-huh.
So, spoiler. Sorry, guys.
Okay, well, good. Wow, I should not have doubted you. All right, I am currently playing. Now, I finished Uncharted 3. I am currently playing through and almost finished with The Order 1886. Not 66. The unreleased version. 1886. Man, that game is so cool. That game was given a lot of crap when it came out. And I think in some ways, maybe for good reason, because the expectations were for one thing and what was delivered was different. I went into this game, it's almost a year since it's been released, if I remember correctly. Didn't it come out in February last year? Or maybe it was January?
Yes, it was February.
And so it's been almost a year. Expectations were through the roof, and according to many people, it didn't quite deliver on all those. And some people really didn't like it. They go as far as to call it a bad game. Most people call it an okay game, a good introduction to an IP. And there were a few who I heard, I think you might have been one of them, that said, you know what? I don't care what they say. This is actually a really great game. So yes, my expectations were tempered going into it. And my reaction so far, and I'm almost finished with it, so I can give you kind of, don't tell me what happens at the end, but I've heard the ending's a little bit of a setup for potential more story. But I'm loving this game. I don't think it's just a great game. I think it's a fantastic game, or a phenomenal game, as you might say. It really truly is. Like, it's visually one of the most stunning things I've ever seen. In terms of a video game. I've never seen a video game that looks like that before.
It is the best looking. I think you had a poll for your Game of the Year awards.
Yeah, we did.
And that game ended up winning best visuals. And I don't know what I was thinking. I didn't vote for it. I don't remember what game. I think I voted for Bloodborne.
Yeah, and that's got a good art style, but as far as just straight up technical prowess, holy cow.
The Order looks like you're playing a movie.
Oh, it's insane.
The Order is ridiculous.
Oh, and the emotion that's communicated. You know what it is? One of the things that got me when of course, this game has tons of cutscenes and lots of close-ups on their faces. And so that surprised me too, because even games like Uncharted, which as the games went along, the graphics got progressively better, and even games like The Witcher, I really like the way the faces look. No game has done with, and I know it's going to sound weird, has done with human eyeballs what the Order did. Like, look at their eyes and look at other games, the way they do their eyes. That's one of the things that makes characters still look lifeless in a lot of these games. Yeah. In the Order, the way that they made the eyes, in addition to other features on their faces, brings them to life. And I know that's kind of a weird feature to point out, but it stuck out to me. Especially with Galahad, the number of times that game zooms in on his face, they want you to see his response to a whole bunch of different things that go down in that game. And yeah. His eyes communicate a ton, because he's not a super expressive dude. You see him get angry and he kind of grits his teeth at times and he looks real serious. He's a complete badass. Galahad's awesome. But when he's experiencing something, his eyes tell the whole story. And I'm just, you know, maybe I'm, I don't know, maybe I'm giving it too much credit, but I'm really loving it. I think the gameplay is serviceable, somewhere between serviceable and good. I don't think it's amazing. They don't really give you a lot of ability to customize anything. You don't get a lot of choice. It's really whatever gun happens to drop in that moment. You don't have any kind of stats to throw any points into. You don't level up. You don't set your loadout before each level. Those things aren't really drawbacks so much as this game... feels like it should have those things. I can't really put my finger on exactly why it feels that way, but it feels like it should have those kind of things, and maybe a sequel will start digging into that in terms of gameplay and maybe even touches of RPG depth. Who knows?
I mean, I know it's not like Assassin's Creed, but I kind of look at the potential for this game as the same potential as Assassin's Creed 1. When the first Assassin's Creed came out, and now if you talk to a lot of gamers, especially ones that played maybe Assassin's Creed 2 or 3 or something like that before they played 1, a lot of people complain about how 1 was repetitive and blah, 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 and they crap all over it. But Assassin's Creed 1 was actually a solid game.
Oh, it was a fun game. But I liked it a lot, yeah.
But it was lacking a lot of things that they've now implemented into their latest releases. I think The Order is the same way. Like, when I played The Order 1886, and I played it 3 times, and I loved it. You know, I got the platinum, which I'm not a platinum hunter or anything like that, whatever they call you guys. But I wanted to get that one because, A, it was easy, and B, I actually loved the game enough to waste my time looking for stupid little things to look at in the game to unlock the platinum trophy. But the game, while it doesn't have those things that you mentioned, what it does do and what it sets out to do, it does a really, really good job.
Yeah.
The weakest part of the game would be the gameplay.
Right.
But it's not bad at all. It's a cover-based shooter that works. It does work. Like, I never had any times where I was like, the game is broken. I asked for it to go into cover, and it just stood there.
I think it falls somewhere for me between, like, speaking of cover shooters, somewhere between the Gears of War games and Uncharted in terms of the actual combat and gameplay. Just as far as the way it feels, the way the movement feels, the way it feels to go from cover to cover, it has that same kind of heaviness that Gears has. Like, you feel like you've got real weight to your character. You feel strong and sturdy and big, but you also feel like maybe the later Gears games I didn't play. I played the first two, but I always felt like they had a heaviness to them compared to something like Uncharted, where Nathan Drake, now that I'm thinking back on it compared to The Order, he's light as a feather. He's jumping around like crazy. He can jump up, scale up walls real fast. And yet Galahad from The Order, he's real... Everything about him is methodical and slow, including the way he fights. And it's not a game that's meant for you to be fast. Like, they don't let you run throughout most of that game. A lot of that game, you walk or you do a light jog. There's only a few sections where they let you do a full out sprint, because it really truly is about positioning, flanking the enemy, and then just real solid. Again, I feel like most of the shooting is kind of a heavier feel. The way the guns feel, everything feels stronger, and like each bullet just feels like more powerful. So I like that about it. I'm really enjoying it. To me, it does. I was expecting it to be over in just a couple hours. It was undersold in terms of its content. It's not very long. I'm almost to the end of it now. But it's long enough. Like, I don't know if I wanted this shallow of gameplay to last much longer than it is.
Yeah, I think it worked out. At least for me personally, because, like I said, I played it 3 times, so it being short was to my advantage, because it allowed me to go replay it. I know a lot of people won't want to replay it because they're like, well, I experienced the story and the gameplay's okay. But I don't know. It was just the world, the characters.
Yeah, I'm digging it. I'm digging it.
Even the feel of the
it.
Game.
Yeah.
I did play last night. I played for about an hour. I just put it on and just started playing it again.
Nice.
And the one thing I will say about the guns is some of those guns feel like pea shooters, especially the little pistols.
Okay, that's true. I guess I was like, thinking really? More of like the assault rifles and the like the specialized
guns.
Those feel good. Yeah.
The pistols, and I know pistols aren't going to have a huge impact, but they literally feel like Uncharted pistols, where it's like, oh,
okay, no, that's true.
Am I shooting
that's
a
true.
Sponge bullet at you? Because this is terrible.
That's true. All right, well, let's move on past the order. By the way, I'm very excited for that franchise to continue. I hope that IP doesn't die. Really want to see more from the order.
Well, I know you're cheap, Tim, but why don't you go buy 5 hard copies? You can probably get all 5 for $50 total.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that. What else are you playing?
Well, I'm excited to announce that Dragon's Dogma has released on PC today. January 15th has come.
Oh, did you play it yet?
Yes, I did, right before we started recording. I got to log on and fight... what are those things called? Never mind. I'm not even going to talk about it. I did fight the dragon, but
Are they called dragons?
Well, I did get to fight a dragon, but I was trying to say something else and I forgot the name of it. What is it that the lion, snake? I don't know. I'm just going to stop talking.
But anyways, I
played it. It's amazing because I played it a couple times through on my 360. And so I was really excited about the PC version just because it's 1080p, it's 60 frames per second. I don't have the best PC. In fact, I talked about it last week, but I got the Alpha. So I would say it's like mid-range PC level as far as gaming. But I'm actually able to put the game on pretty high settings. I can't do ultra or anything, and it looks gorgeous. I mean, it still looks like a 360 game, but the actual... the colors, everything. Oh, it's just beautiful. Nice. I love
it. Take some screenshots and make sure you share them. I want to see that.
No, I won't. But I will keep playing that one.
All right. The last games that I just wanted to mention that I'm playing through. These are games that I play with my kids. And so there's two ways that I play games with my kids. Number one is we sit down and we play games together. They have a controller and so do I, and we play. Or they have a DS and I'm hooking it up with my DS or 3DS and we play. There's also games that I play that are almost like, I equate it to putting on a TV show or a movie for the kids. But instead of me putting them in front of a screen and basically telling them, sit and watch and be quiet, I'm actually saying, here, let's play this game together. We can talk about what's happening. You can tell me what decision to make or which way to go or whatever it might be. So there's a couple games I'm playing right now with my kids. Number one is Fez. We're working our way back through Fez. I like that game. They like the colorful characters and kind of the old school art style. I know you love that too. We're also playing. It's a really great game. Really cool puzzles. Very unique the way.
I actually downloaded it and you don't even want to hear. It lasted about 0.2 seconds.
It was really funny. My kids. I told them it was called Fez, and they refused to believe that the little character's name is Gomez, and so they just call all those little whatever those little white sprite beings are. They call them all Fez. Like, oh, there's another Fez. There's another Fez. Like, so they love that game. We've also played through most of that first chapter of King's Quest, which is a really great game. Christopher Lloyd doing the narration for that as the old king telling stories of when he was younger. Really funny, like great writing and just really funny kind of slapstick cartoon moments. I enjoy that a lot. I actually am considering going ahead and getting the full season pass for that because I have a feeling I'm going to enjoy all those episodes. So anyway, they're enjoying King's Quest. And then lastly, Child of Light. My oldest son likes to pick up the other controller and control that little, I forget what he's like a little orb that floats around and collects stuff for you and opens chests
for you.
And he can blind the enemies for you. And so yeah, those are kind of the things that when we're all kind of sitting around playing together and they want to join in, those are some of the games we're playing there. So, all right, let's talk about gaming news. There's some things that have been happening. Here's what I'd like to do. We could just pull up a whole bunch of gaming news sites and just start reading through all the all the news articles that have popped up. Instead, I thought, let's highlight a few things that jumped out to us as interesting or pertinent or something worth mentioning. We are not saying this is all the gaming news that happened. We're not saying this is the best or necessarily most important news that happened. It's just things that we decided, Derek and I, in our wisdom, that we wanted to talk about. So, so first of all, just wanted to mention this happened, I want to say a week, maybe 2 weeks ago now. It feels like a while because there's been so much talk about it. It might have only been a week ago. They announced the Oculus Rift price of $600. So what I wanted to do, I wanted to get two things. Number one, just your quick reaction to that. Does that feel like too much, about what you thought, less than you thought? Will you buy it? And what will the PSVR price be? So
now, I'm going to say that I feel like it's too high, but I know if I was more educated on it, I'm sure I would have probably been like, oh, it's about right. But I just feel like, and I know I hit on this last week on our last show, that for me personally, even though I spend a lot and I try to buy everything, Oculus Rift is just basically shut any chance of me ever buying it out, because the requirements are too much on the PC side.
Yeah, they are. They're really
high. And then on top of that, they're saying, well, okay, not only do you have to have an amazing PC, but you have to have $600. So, and to be honest with you, I'm more into, and maybe it's because I'm more of a console gamer, I'm more interested in PlayStation VR.
Okay.
So
then tell me, like, so it sounds like you're not going to buy the Oculus. At least you don't plan to at that price point right now with your current PC.
There's a 0% chance.
So then what, instead of telling me whether or not you'll buy PSVR, I'm sure we'll talk about that more in the future. Just give me straight up your prediction. How much will the PSVR cost?
I'm gonna say it's, let's see, the PlayStation 4 right now is retailing for $350. Sony said that it's gonna cost the amount of a console. So Matt immediately takes my brain to $300 to $400.
So take a guess.
I'm going to say $400.
Okay. I do remember them saying something to the effect of they're treating it like a hardware release. It's like a console release. I don't know if in my mind I equated that with costing what the PS4 currently costs, which is why I think it's gonna cost a little more than that. I originally thought $500. Now I'm thinking they're gonna go a little bit, think outside the box. I think it's gonna land at like $450, like $449.99. That's what I think it's gonna land.
Now, since you're giving me, that's still pretty high, and that might even scare me away, even though I plan on buying one. Do you think that $450 price will include a game, or is
I do,
just?
But I don't think it's gonna be a killer app. I think it's gonna be
like a little stupid game like they gave you with the Vita.
My prediction, and I don't know exactly what it's going to be like, but I think it's going to be somewhere on par with the Wii Sports, where it's going to be neat and really show off the capabilities of what VR can do. It's probably going to have a couple different experiences packed in. Probably a good way to show it off with friends and family. Like, hey, check this out. Racing, flying, space game, a fighting game, you know, maybe something sports related. They'll do something where they're trying to give you a variety of VR experiences somehow packed in.
I want them to bundle it with Gran Turismo. If they do that,
that would be smart. I feel like racing is one of, it's really got to be one of the genres that's going to benefit most from VR, at least out of the gate, because it seems like the most natural fit for that style of being able to sit there and look whatever direction you want while still steering and going forward. So yeah, I think that's got a natural fit to it. For me personally, I don't have any plans to jump in on this technology yet. Doesn't mean I'm not intrigued by it. It doesn't mean I don't think it's cool. I really do think it's cool, and I really do want to try it. But I think I've said this a number of times in conversations about it. But right now, gaming by itself, standard TV screen style gaming, is hard enough to get time for that. I just can't imagine completely shutting everyone out, both with my general attention, but also with basically half of my head just being gone as I'm disappeared into this world, not listening or looking at anybody. I just don't see that going over really well at this phase of our lives. But who knows? Like, if they show the right games and show the right way it can be used with family and friends, couch co-op, who knows? I'm open to it. I'm just thinking, I'm predicting that it's not going to be something that I get on board with, at least not early on. So
yeah.
All right, so another piece of news that came out was the details for Homefront: The Revolution were announced. It's going to be coming out on May 17th in North America and worldwide on May 20th, and they're going to be launching their closed beta in February. Now, did you play the original Homefront game?
I did. I didn't complete it, but I was able to pick it up for like $1
Steam.
At Best Buy.
Oh, okay. I got it on Steam really, really cheap.
I'll probably buy it on Steam just because I'll want the better visuals or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I can't say that I loved it. I liked it. You know what I was more intrigued by is what they were trying to do with the game. And I don't remember the details, so I'm going to be off a little bit. But I believe Homefront was about Koreans.
Yeah, invading. Occupying the U.S. Yeah.
Yes. So, and the way they opened it, like, you know, watching kids get shot. And
it was a stunning opening. I'll agree with you there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, almost every shooter, especially when you're talking about Call of Duty or Battlefield and so on, it's usually the Americans are the heroes and we're going to kill everybody in their territory or something along those lines. This game had a nice, unique twist of, we were the ones being invaded. We were the ones having to defend ourselves. And the way they were trying to accomplish that, or what they were trying to do, was intriguing to me. And that's why I wanted the game. The execution, the actual gameplay was fine, but the acting and how it was done, the presentation, not so much.
I'll tell you a game that I kind of compare it to, and I'm not saying these games are equal in terms of gameplay quality, but it reminded me of Spec Ops: The Line, where it just kind of made you think a little bit differently about typical military stories, whether it's usually going to be a shooter if it's military, or really any kind of military story that we typically see in movies and in games. And I like being challenged to think a little bit differently and having a unique storyline, something that catches you off guard. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this comes together. This will come out in May, so it might be worth checking out.
I plan to get it. Like it, unless it's something terrible happens. I know they've had a lot of issues trying to develop this game. It's gone from studio to studio and so on. Mm-hmm. But I still am very.
That was
very
a
interested.
Was that THQ? Am I thinking of that correctly? That
one
of the. This is totally random, but it's my turn to just say a quick thing. I'll actually keep it short. One of the THQ properties that I've always wished they would bring back is the old WWF No Mercy games. I don't know if you ever played those. Or WrestleMania. I think there was one, WrestleMania 2000. And then they had the old WCW versus NWO games. These are all N64 wrestling games. And they were so fun. I really wish they would bring those back because I don't really love the way WWE games play now. But anyway, just side note, THQ... as far as their IP goes, that's one I had always wished would come back. But anyway, for those of you who know what I'm talking about, you're sitting there going, yes, bring it back. You know, you grab the chair out of the crowd and whatever.
And for those people that are like me, you're judging those who are getting excited about what he's talking about.
Well, here's another game you can judge me for being excited about. The game Hitman, which was delayed out of December into March. There was some news this week that came out about pre-orders being canceled. Now, I've got this game pre-ordered, and I've been checking my pre-order status, and it still tells me it's pre-ordered and waiting, and it's coming. So none of the messages or notifications that I've gotten have indicated anything other than I have this game pre-ordered. So, but I know many people saw a notification come through from Sony about the pre-order being canceled because of the nature, the configuration of the game is changing. And I don't know if it's been totally confirmed, but I do know that they're talking about more of an episodic release to this game, which, again, like I've said before, is fine with me as long as we're talking about another quality series of Hitman content. So whether that's delivered to me in pieces over the course of, you know, several months, or whether I get it all in one big lump game, I'm fine with that. Like, I really just, I like the Hitman games. I like stealth action. And so, yeah, not much more to say about that other than it sounds like no one needs to be too worried. If you're a Hitman fan, it sounds like you'll still be getting some Hitman stuff.
Well, I thought it was interesting because the CEO, Kaz Hirai, I think he actually had something to say about that.
Yeah,
game.
And it's real. It's really him. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he said the new Hitman is now fully episodic. In March, they will release the... can't even say it without laughing. The main menu. In April, the first loading screen. And in May, the opening cinematic. So congratulations, Tim.
Oh, my gosh.
You have pre-ordered the, well, the main menu, the first loading screen, and the opening cinematic.
And that's why I'm excited. Thank you, Kaz, for confirming why I'm excited. He's hilarious, man. His Twitter feed, I don't know who that person is, but they are really funny. Oh,
they
man.
They nail it. They nail it.
They are absolutely hilarious. So anyway, I know you'll at least try Hitman, I imagine, right? I mean, you'll have access to it, so why not?
Yeah, I don't hate the Hitman series. I'm kind of glad. This is the first game I think that you're buying that I'm actually happy you're buying, because you usually buy crap games that I don't care about.
Yeah.
So this is the first one that I'm like, okay, I'll at least download it and maybe give it more than a minute, but I doubt I'll play it that long. I don't want to pull us off our little news fest here, but I wanted to share, speaking of games that I downloaded that you bought that I felt like were crap, I did finally play Axiom Verge.
Okay.
It's a great game. I really underestimated how shitty it is. It's terrible, man. I sit there and I started playing it and I was like, this is so stupid. Not only are you ugly, you're absolutely ugly, and I hate you for how ugly you are, but you're like boring and pointless. So I'm sitting here playing it and I'm like, I think I died after about a minute or two. I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to let you reload. In the middle of the game trying to reload my player, I hit start, or I hit the PlayStation button, I hit start on the game, I went to the little menu, and I hit delete, and I deleted that piece of crap. So that's your review of Axiom Verge.
I totally checked out during that. I think you said something about Axiom Verge, but I'm sure
it
was great.
It's poop out of 10.
You are crazy. Axiom Verge is a fun game. It's not a perfect game. Looks and plays great. You're insane. Hey, you mentioned something about the CEO Kaz Hirai Twitter feed, so I pulled it up, and I just wanted to share some of these because they're hilarious. Some of his recent posts. So for those of you who don't know, if you go on Twitter, if you're on Twitter, if you follow at Kaz Hirai CEO, it's a I don't know what you would call it. It's a fake account claiming to be the CEO of Sony, and he posts just these hilarious little one-liners about whatever's going on currently in the video game business, and it's really, really funny stuff. If it ever turns out that somehow the real Kaz Hirai is behind that, he is instantly my favorite person in the video games industry, by far.
Even though he's the one that announced the $600 PS3.
He is absolutely fantastic. If it somehow in some crazy world turns out, like, hey, by the way, I was really behind all those jokes, I'm actually that clever, that would be insane. So anyway, let me read a few of these posts that he's made recently. On December 15th, after Hideo Kojima left Konami, his tweet reads this. Kojima has officially left Konami. He is officially the last exciting thing that will ever be released by Konami.
Oh, I love you,
this is going to be hard to get through some of these. I'm in a weird mood, too. It's getting kind of late, so I'm getting kind of silly. But he has another tweet. That same day, I am pleased to announce Hideo Kojima is developing an exclusive game for PlayStation. It's a brand new franchise called Gear Metal Solid. All right, I'll just read one more. At the end of December, he posted that you've asked for AAA PS4 titles on PS Plus, and we've delivered. Hardware Rivals and Grim Fandango Remastered both have 3 A's in their title.
Nice.
Yeah, it's just really real silly. All right.
I have to read one, and then we can move on.
Okay.
We decided to help customers whose New Year's resolution is to play less games and do more exercise by taking PSN offline. Now, when he did this, this was the day that PlayStation Network was down.
Oh, people were losing their minds, yeah.
So every time PlayStation Network goes down, whoever's behind this Kaz Hirai account, he always posts something hilarious on why Sony has shut down PlayStation Network. So this was posted on January 4th, so it was perfect.
Oh, that's
fantastic.
We decided
to help customers whose New Year's resolution is to play less.
Oh, my gosh. I just now saw this one more. I'm sorry, everybody. I got to read this one more. He said, This is after Oculus was announced on July 6th. It's price point. And he posts, an Oculus Rift VR headset can transport you to an unbelievable fictional world, like a world where people will spend $599 on an Oculus Rift.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing that one. All right. Last one.
Okay, you know what? We're gonna move on.
I gotta read this one. Last one, I promise.
Do it.
Rise of the Tomb Raider is now exclusive to the Xbox One. Square Enix clearly wants this game to be Uncharted, as in not entering the charts.
What I love is it's a nice combination between like actual insults and zings and dad jokes. That's what it is. It's like a combination of those. So stupid and makes me laugh. All right.
That was hilarious.
All right. So another bit of news. Witcher 3 expansion Blood and Wine is coming out. And let me just read a couple of highlights from the story. The developer says that it's better than the main game in terms of an interesting antagonist with some very interesting and compelling moments with the antagonist. And it has a very complex story. So I'm interested in that. Of course, you talked about how I do enjoy story-based games with a strong story. They said definitively this is the final chapter of Geralt's story. They didn't say it was the last we'd see of that world, though, and they didn't necessarily. I mean, that's always a hint. Oh, will Geralt finally die? Is he? You know, is this him just disappearing and never coming back? What is this going to be? So, but they did not say we'll never see this world that's been established by the Witcher games, and I would be happy to see them come back and somehow revisit it. Revisit
yeah,
that world.
I don't want to. It's kind of like Uncharted. Like, I would love for Uncharted 4 to be Naughty Dog's last Uncharted, and I'm even okay with like it being Nathan Drake's last Uncharted.
Well, they've already said that, I think, that this is the final Nathan Drake story.
Yeah. And I would love that, but I would still love an Uncharted game after Uncharted 4.
Starring someone else?
Exactly, yeah. And that's what I would like to see with The Witcher. I'm okay with Geralt dying if he dies or whatever happens, and that would be my prediction as well. I don't know if you would.
He's
do
had
it
a good run.
Expansion.
He's had a good. Let's be honest.
I know, but it's hard to believe that they would kill him off in an expansion. Yeah. Most people are going to buy the main game.
Yeah.
Only probably a third to a half are going to buy the expansions.
Right.
So I don't know if you do it there, but I was really excited when I read those original quotes before you just read them now, that the developers were actually taking feedback from us, the gamers, and one of the biggest takeaways from The Witcher 3 is they said, we didn't have, like, an antagonist, like, one of those mean, evil villains that you needed to go after.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like that's what they went with Blood and Wine, is that they're going to have somebody who's going to do some bad things, whether it's
right.
to Geralt or somebody else that Geralt maybe cares about. So
yeah.
I'm really excited.
Yeah, the
about
weakness
that.
Of the main villain from Witcher 3 wasn't in his strength or his power or his scariness, because they did a good job with that. He was a very intimidating, frightening dude. But the weakness there was, they tried to very quickly and in weird ways set up the history between Geralt and this main villain, and it wasn't built out enough.
Force.
I mean,
yeah.
Especially juxtaposed to the rest of the game. They built out everything in that freaking game, and so the villain was, in those terms, kind of a letdown as far as, you know, the personalized, like the very final battle is so personal, and yet we as the player, we haven't really been able to see what makes that so personal, other than just being told it's pretty personal. So anyway, that being said, I'm excited for the Blood and Wine expansion. I don't think they gave a date for it yet, but they did say that after this expansion, most of the team's focus will be turning to Cyberpunk 2077. So that's kind of exciting to hear. That'd be interesting to hear as that game comes along. All right.
Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to, I think, even be bigger than The Witcher.
That's what they said.
Don't even know how you do that.
I don't know how or necessarily why you would do that. I think The Witcher 3 was plenty big. I just want the quality to be good, you know? Give us a good introduction to this cyberpunk universe that you're building. So, another piece of news that just announced today, I believe. Nintendo is going to release their first mobile game in March. And according to this article from TouchArcade.com, there's no confirmation yet on what the game is, but it seems like speculation is pointing to a game called Miitomo, which is a free-to-play game with in-app purchases. It looks like it's featuring your little Mii characters, involves, you know, buying new outfits and, I'm assuming, some sort of mini-games and communicating with friends and all
that. Maybe it's a create-a-character game, and so my...
Oh, your son's going to love it.
My youngest son can just sit there and create 50,000 memes and probably charge my debit card.
Instant game of the year for him, yeah. Yeah, good for you. Good for you guys. Congratulations, by the way, on going into so much debt after that game comes out.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So that's kind of interesting. I am still hopeful that Nintendo going mobile will mean some really fun, meaningful, maybe even retro-style Nintendo experiences on a handheld. I'm sorry, on a mobile. And so I'd like to see that as someone who does have a... I've got an iPhone 6, and I don't play a ton of games on it, but I would download some Nintendo games. I would pay a couple bucks or maybe, you know, free-to-play, buy a couple things in there if it's the right game. But, yeah, I haven't seen or heard anything yet that's convincing me. Miitomo is not the game that's going to do it for me yet. So, anyway, moving on. NPD released their best-selling games list from 2015. So what I want to do is I'm going to pull up this list here, and I want you, without looking, you didn't pull it up, did you?
You know what? I accidentally clicked on it, but I don't have everything memorized. Some of them I already knew.
Okay.
But I can still
go. All right, let's see how many of the 10 you can get. I'm not going to ask you to order them because you might remember the order just from looking. But here's what this is. This is the best-selling physical games in the U.S. for all of 2015. So considering the entire year, what games do you think landed on that top 10 of physical games in the U.S.?
Well, it's got to be Rise of the Tomb Raider. No, I'm just kidding.
Nope.
I'm going to go with... I know Call of Duty's got to be on there. Battlefront's got to be on there. Madden's got to be on there. NBA 2K16's got to be on there. That's four. Some big releases. Fallout 4's got to be on there. That's five. Metal Gear Solid, six. I really am just guessing, so I didn't cheat. What's some big ones? Come on.
I tell you what you got so far. You've gotten Call of Duty, that was number one. You got Madden, that's number two. Fallout was number three. Star Wars Battlefront was number four. And then you've got NBA 2K16 was number six. So you've guessed the top four and then the number six game. Metal Gear Solid 5 was not on this list for physical games, at least. For physical, physical games, it was not.
Oh, Batman Arkham Knight?
Nope. Not on the list. Number five was Grand Theft Auto 5 for the PS4, Xbox One, and other systems. Mm. Number seven was Minecraft. That game just continues to go. Number eight was a major fighting game that released last year.
Mortal Kombat
X. There you go, Mortal Kombat X. Number nine was the beautiful game FIFA 16. And number 10, just to show you the power of a brand, number 10 was Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. That was number 10. Isn't that crazy? So, still making money. So there you go. There was the top 10 for 2015. And then December, those numbers weren't all that much different. I guess Madden wasn't quite as high in December. Most of it. Oh, Rainbow Six Siege cracked the top 10.
I really, really thought Grow Home would be on there.
Why would you ever think that makes any list ever?
It's just a little cheap shot at Giant Bomb.
Yeah, Grow Home, jeez. Okay, well, that's all we're covering for right now for news. I mean, there's plenty of other things that happen, but we'll stop right there. We'll bring some more new stuff to you with our next episode. So what I thought we could do to close out is to talk about games that are coming out this month. So let's just talk about January. And so I pulled up a list of games that have come out already this month. So I'm going to talk about the first couple weeks of the month, and then I'm going to let you take over for what's coming for the rest of the month. So
sounds good.
Some of the highlights so far. Number one was Amplitude. They brought that game back out. I've heard it's gotten some, yeah, it's another Amplitude game type responses. So I don't think it's really changed anybody's lives. Hardware Rivals came out. It was one of the PS Plus games this month on the PS4.
And I didn't hear good things about that one.
I didn't either. It actually doesn't look real great. I did not even fire it up yet, but it's sitting there looking at me, but it doesn't even, the screenshots don't look all that great. Volume, the PS Vita version, came out on January 5th as well. So I'm excited to play that.
Nope.
Assassin's Creed Chronicles India came out this past week. I did like the China game that came out last spring, I think it was. It was fun for what it was. I'll tell you this, though. after playing a game like Mark of the Ninja back on the 360 a couple years ago, any side-scrolling stealth action game just has, it's got a high bar to try to meet, because Mark of the Ninja still, to me, stands as one of the best side-scrolling games, let alone stealth action games. There's nothing that comes anywhere close.
I just don't like, I don't like 2D. I don't like side-scrolling. So I did buy Assassin's Creed China, and because I do like Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
And it was $5. I got it on sale, and I played like an hour and was like, no, I have no interest in this.
A game,
so I definitely am not buying India.
Well, I might get it. We'll see. Maybe when it goes on sale. I've heard it's very similar to China. So I liked China, but I never did finish it because it just didn't get its hooks on me. But yeah, I might jump into India at some point. A game called Tharsis came out on PC and the PS4, and I was reading the description of this game, and it kind of sounds interesting. You basically, it's a turn-based strategy game. It kind of sounds like almost like board game style, the way they described it. And basically,
yeah, it actually literally has dice.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, there you go.
It like has you dice actually in it. See the dice roll.
Yeah, and so you're basically trying to keep your crew alive on your journey to Mars, and all sorts of bad stuff happens. It seems like it's got a bit of a dark sense of humor in there as well, if I was reading it correctly. But that one looks interesting. The Banner Saga is coming over to the PS4 and Xbox One, a great strategy game out of the PC. There's another game I wanted to highlight that came out this past week called That Dragon Cancer. And this game sounds like one of the most emotional experiences of any video game ever made. And I'm not trying to be... I'm not trying to be hyperbolic with that. I'm not trying to overstate that. It is literally a game about a dad's experience with his very young son developing what turned out to be a fatal form of brain cancer, and his journey through that with him and his wife, telling the older brothers about it, what's wrong with your little brother, and just going through that whole journey of the hospital visits, the medication, but then lots and lots of little, looks like almost mini games or little levels where it's stories that he's telling the brothers of how their younger brother is fighting through what he calls that dragon cancer, that bad guy cancer, and he's fighting this fight, and that's what the game's about. And then it goes into what sounds like, and what I've seen of it, of the game, look like very real scenes, like in an actual hospital room. Or in the boy's actual room while the dad holds him while he's getting his medicine. And so, like, very serious, very somber, but also it sounds like a very moving and meaningful game. So I just wanted to highlight that one. For me, as a dad, just reading this article about it, man, it got me choked up just reading about it. So playing it, I know this is going to sound weird for some of you. I'm not even sure I'll be able to fire that game up and actually experience it. I feel like it might be just too much for me to handle as a dad who is always worried about his kids and their health and all that kind of stuff. That being said, I do think this is a game that deserves attention. For those of you who can give it a look, I encourage you to do so. I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, I was looking at the Metacritic because I had actually, you had talked about this on Facebook, and so I looked into it, and the first review I saw was not that great.
Right.
It wasn't terrible or anything, but it wasn't real good. And so I was like, well, maybe this is a crappy game. Like, maybe the story's good, but the actual game is crap. But I just went to Metacritic, and the overall, this, I'm just talking about reviewers. I don't talk about user scores because they're stupid.
They're garbage.
But
yeah.
It's a solid 80 for 22 reviews.
Okay.
There's lots of hundreds, but there are a few low scores too. Okay. So it's kind of,
I think you have to go into a game like that with the right expectations. Like, I wouldn't go into that game thinking, you know, what are the mechanics of this game? Is it fun to play? Like, I think I would go into that thinking almost the same thing I would going into a show or a movie, where I'm going to experience something that this artist has put together to share his experience with this real life thing that happened. And I might be able to interact with it to a certain level, but I'm not going to evaluate it like I would a normal game. So
yeah,
that one is, to me, it's, if nothing else, I'll say this. If nothing else, it's really, really neat to see one of our favorite mediums in video games take this step into a pretty scary place, a pretty scary conversation. I like seeing that because I like seeing the creativity. I like seeing the art, just the artistry behind something like this. I think it's really brave to kind of step out and tell this personal of a story. The guy is a man of faith, and so he apparently in the game quite a bit struggles with belief and where is God and that kind of thing. And so, and from what I've read, it's not a game where it says here's where you should land on your view of, you know, a higher being during a tragedy like this. It's more of just here's a struggle that all humans go through when they're dealing with something just life changing and life altering. So anyway, just wanted to highlight that game. I'm excited to see the creativity there. I don't know if I can actually play it yet. It just gets me emotionally even thinking about it. So, okay, yeah. Let me share one other game that came out today, actually, and then I'll let you talk about one that came out today. There's a little game that came out called Oxenfree, and it's only on the PC and the Xbox. So if you want to throw another game on the pile of reasons that I should get an Xbox, one.
Yes.
This might be one, because this sounds interesting to me, and I think it looks interesting, too. I'll just read real quickly the summary of what it's about. Oxenfree is set on an abandoned island which is visited by some teenagers for a party until they accidentally opened a supernatural rift. It's a game that was published by Night School Studio, a group of former Telltale Game employees. So all of a sudden I'm like, oh, sounds interesting. You know, former Telltale employees. So I'm interested in it. It seems kind of cool. So Oxenfree looks like one worth checking out if you've got a Xbox One. What came out today that you're excited about? You already mentioned it. And then what else is coming? You don't have to mention everything, but what big games are coming the rest of this month?
I do want to highlight just a couple that did hit already before January 15th. You did mention the Banner Saga. I highly recommend that game. I have it on PC if you like turn-based strategy RPGs that your decisions impact the game. So I do highly recommend that. It's $20 on PS4 and Xbox One. And Gone Home also came out on Xbox One and PS4. Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen came out today, which I've already talked about, so I don't need to go over that. That's for PC only. A free game on Xbox One, if you're a gold member, is Zeroes. Zeroes. I have not played this. I did initiate the purchase of it, which was, again, free for me. So I will check it out. I don't know. It kind of seems like it's an old school... what is it? That dragon game? Double Dragon type game?
Oh, yeah. Like a beat-em-up. Like a street beat-em-up game.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Okay. That's not from me actually researching it. But it has more updated graphics, which, you know, I'm a graphics whore, so I might check it out, but it's probably going to be a game I delete in about 5 seconds.
So classy. You're so classy.
Blade and Souls coming out on PC. That's actually a game on January 19th. I am definitely going to play. It's an MMO. I'm not going to go into that anymore. Darkest Dungeon. That is coming out on the PS4. Although on my calendar it's saying PC, but I believe it's January 19th.
I've heard good things about that, and it's on Vita. Yeah, it comes out in Vita too, so I might look into it on Vita. Yeah,
it's a game I think Tim will like. It's already out on PC. I know because I've seen it on Steam sales, and I almost pulled the trigger on it. So I haven't played it, but it sounds really interesting, and I'm just going to let Tim buy it on the PS4, and then that way I can play it.
There you go.
Big release for me is Resident Evil 0, January 19th. So that's a high-def remake of Resident Evil 0 that came out on the GameCube.
Yep.
It's one of the few Resident Evil games that I have not finished. So, will I finish it this time? I don't know. It's hard for me to go back to the old Resident Evil games.
Yep.
But I am definitely going to start it. I did pre-order it on the PS4, so Tim, you have access.
Another one I want to mention real quick is A Boy and His Blob. Were you going to say that one?
No.
A Boy and His Blob.
That's terrible.
Have you never played A Boy and His Blob?
No.
Wow.
Why would I play that?
I know it sounds like, now that I'm saying it, if you've never heard of it, it probably sounds like really inappropriate, perhaps. But A Boy and His Blob was a great original NES game, really hard original NES game. And then I think they made a Game Boy version. And then they upgraded it. They made a brand new version for the Wii several years ago. And I really liked that game. It had a really cool visual style to it. Kind of looked like imagine if Limbo had actually been colored in and fully textured instead of just the shadows that it is. It kind of had that look to it and that feel to it. Really fun game, cool puzzle game where you basically are feeding these jelly beans to your blob to take these different shapes or become these different things. So you're just a little boy who's got a sidekick blob that's kind of like, he's just a blob and he's just following you around. And really cool puzzle game. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Sounds like something I would ignore.
Comes out on PS4, PS Vita, and Xbox One and PC. It's worth a try. It's good.
Yeah, sounds great. Yeah. Mario and Luigi Paper Jam. I never really got into the Mario and Luigi RPGs.
They're funny. They're like really funny.
So I'm not going to get that one.
Okay.
Final Fantasy Explorers, I am going to get that one. I'm really actually excited about that one. I actually plan on playing co-op with, I guess, Tim. Are you going to get it?
I'm planning on it now because you guys have kind of sold me. I know that. Let me just give some shout-outs. We got guys like Dan Phillips, Kyle Neely. Who am I forgetting?
Mark Allen.
Mark Allen's going to jump in there. And I know there's other DS and 3DS players in our various groups that we're involved with. It sounds like several people are going to jump in on that. So very cool. That game looks like a lot of fun. I think you guys have sold me on it.
Yeah, so I plan on getting that, and I'm really buying it for the co-op. So hopefully we really do hook up and play that. So that's January 26th. Lego Marvel's Avengers comes out January 26th. I was not going to buy this game because I do not like Lego games, but I was able to get it on PC for $16. So I went ahead and pre-ordered it.
If I hadn't already played through the other Lego Marvel game and enjoyed it for what it was, I thought it was a lot of fun, all the different superheroes you can use. There's not as much of a draw for me to play this one. I feel like I've already experienced a Lego Marvel game, so I don't know. It looks cool, but I've already played it, I feel like.
That's what I worried about. I was like, I don't like Lego games, but
I do. I enjoy them. Like, I'll admit it. I enjoy them.
I did like, what was the last one, Lego Marvel, what? Was it just Lego Marvel?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, I did like that one.
Might have been Superheroes.
Something like that. I played probably a few hours with my youngest, and he was really into it. And so I kind of got into it.
I love those games. They're funny. They're fun.
I'll pay $16, but I won't pay $60.
Okay.
January 26th, PS4 and PC is The Witness.
Finally.
I'm not interested in this at all.
Finally.
But I know there are a lot of people in our Facebook groups that we share a lot of our opinions on games. I know people like Matt Phillips are really interested in that. Tim Nestor.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard of him.
Very excited for that one.
He's an okay guy. January 28th is Rise of the Tomb Raider is coming to PC. So they pushed up that launch date. I think that's
because they need to sell some copies.
Yeah, I don't think the Xbox One did enough, so they are pushing that up. I actually might buy it on PC. I can get it real cheap, so I may do that and just check it out on there as well. This War of Mine is coming to PS4 and Xbox One. This was originally released on PC. It's another game that I could have gotten cheap, but I was just afraid to buy it because I was afraid it would just sit there. But do you know anything about this one?
I've read enough about it, and I don't want to read any more because I'm interested and I want to experience it. But it looks to be – we talked about emotional games earlier with that Dragon Cancer, and it looks to be a very heavy, emotional but powerful game, and I'm looking forward to it.
It's taking a different perspective on war. So instead of playing a –
well, the subtitle is The Little Ones, and it shows two little kids looking through a window at this war-torn –
yeah.
Town out beyond the window. So it looks real. I mean, just that image alone, I'm like, okay, this is going to be a hard one, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's all a game all about war, but you're not playing a military shooter. You're playing victims. You're playing people that are involved in this war because not by choice.
Right.
So that one looks intriguing. And then there's, I'll just mention it real quick. I have no interest in it. Tropico 5 Complete Collection is coming to PC on January 29th. But so far, January is a pretty solid month.
Yeah.
There's some good releases. They're more smaller releases. There's no huge, huge game that's coming out that I'm like, yes, this is going to consume my life for the next month or two. But overall, a nice month.
Yeah, I think those games are going to start landing in February for me, although there are some cool ones coming out in January. I think most of those ones that you, I mean, that description you just gave of, yes, I can't wait, February is when those start. So, but yeah, there's still some good ones though for January. You're right. It's a pretty solid month. One thing it's missing is, at least so far, it doesn't seem to have that Dying Light surprise that we had last year. You know, Dying Light landed in January and everyone was like, whoa, this game is great. No one knew it was going to be this great. So,
yeah.
So, but that's okay.
I was kind of hoping for a release like that. But I think a lot of those games that were going to do that, those kind of slipped behind.
Right. All right, well, let's close out with, if you've got it, I don't know if you've got it available, let's close out with some deals that you have found that you can share with our listeners. If they're like us, then they have a tendency to look for sales. If they're like me, then they really, really, really wait until those sales are impossible to ignore. So what have you found? What's on sale? What should our listeners go and check out?
Okay, well, some of the sites that I use, and I'm always searching for sales daily. I probably do this more at work than at my actual job. But the two sites that I use mainly are cheapassgamer.com and slickdeals.net.
Yep. Those are good
right
ones.
Right now I'm on cheapassgamers right now. I'm just looking at the Best Buy ad for January. I think it starts January. What's today?
Today's the it's the 16th now because we're after midnight. But yeah.
All right, so it starts January 17th.
Okay, so it starts on Sunday the 17th. Okay, so it's probably going to be going on when you listen to this.
Exactly. So some of the main games that they have on sale are Grand Theft Auto 5 for next gen or current gen consoles are $39.99. If you have Gamers Club unlocked, you get 20% off all new titles. I highly, highly recommend that. I go to Best Buy more than anybody else. So the game would actually be $32 for me. Rainbow Six Siege is $49.99. Destiny's The Taken King is $39.99. And then Jesse White, Assassin's Creed, Syndicate, $39.99. And I know you have Gamers Club unlocked, so you have really zero excuse not to drop $32 on this game.
Calling you out, Jesse.
100%. And so those are the main titles.
Cool.
I also know Xbox One has been real aggressive with their packaging of games with their systems. They're right now doing an Xbox One 1 terabyte unit with Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege bundle for $400. And one that's coming up is going to be, they are packaging in The Division.
Ooh,
which is
a
really big game. They're going to also sell that for $400 with 1 terabyte when that game launches.
Nice.
So look
good
for
deals.
That. But that's the main deal. Target didn't really have anything. Most of the other stores.
Well, I will say this. Speaking of Jesse White, he's getting back-to-back shout-outs here. He just posted something today that certain Targets in-store are having a deal where if you pre-order a game for $1, then I think it's either 20 or 30% off another game purchase. So
it's 30% off, but you have to. It has to go to a certain game on their list.
Well, still, it's worth checking out.
Yeah,
if you've got a Target nearby, go and see what they've if they've got that sale and then what they've got on the shelf. It's worth looking at. So,
yeah, but what I'll try to do is every time we record this, I try to get a hold of Best Buy, Target's ads, stuff like that that's coming out before you guys are gonna know about it, and then let you guys know.
Cool.
So go save some money.
Yep, and of course, always check out the Xbox Live Store, the PSN Store, and I don't know if the eShop does a ton of sales necessarily for the Wii U, but I know it does for 3DS. Just keep your eyes open for those sales too, and that's usually when I pick up a game that I just barely decided not to buy, and all of a sudden it goes 50% off, and then boom, pull the trigger. And so yeah, keep an eye out on those sales as well. I know there's an essential sale for the PlayStation Store, so they've got some good stuff there too.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's pretty much all we have to cover. Thank you guys so much for listening. And again, head over to fathersofthegrind.com to submit any questions or feedback, to tell us how wrong we are, how right we are, whatever your opinions are on what we've discussed today. And if you've got ideas for things you'd like us to cover, whether it has to do with gaming from a dad's perspective, talking about kids gaming, or maybe just gaming in general, you want us to dig into some sort of topic or something that you want us to talk about, feel free to submit that contact form there on that site, or you could just shoot us a note there on Facebook as well. So again, thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.